Previously on the Electric Information Show.
Why are you looking at me like that? Doesn't everybody put chinchillas down their pants for no reason?
You, me, baking soda, and a stack of pancakes. Go.
God, it's the mayor of France!
That's only fun when the nasal membranes of a rhinoceros are involved.
Since that day, I haven't been able to look a coconut in the eyes without trying to kill myself.
Kratos? It is you! How you been? How's the family?
Folks, welcome back. It's another Electric Information Show, and it has been a couple of weeks of amazing, amazing events. But before we get to that, let's get to introductions. I'm Joe Convoy. Here with me always is my amazingly awesome co-host, Toya. And you recently celebrated your birthday, didn't you, Toya?
Geez, tell everybody, why don't you?
Well, I'm sure you'll get lots of happy birthday comments.
Yeah, I've also got lots of vultures circling around me. Oh. I'm old.
And that gentleman giggling over there is Falcon Reaper from Bultoid.
Yep. And this has to be like, what, my third or fourth time back on the show?
Oh, you know we love you.
Yep.
And also, we don't actually pay you, so good going.
That is true, yeah.
So what's up, folks? What are we talking about this week?
Well, like I said, we had a bunch of amazing events that happened, but let's start off with the most exciting of the two events we have to talk about. And that was the 2011 Evo Fighting Game Tournament.
Oh, yeah, and what a hell of a tournament it was. I mean, in the last, I think, maybe 3 to 4 years, it has not quite been this exciting. This was a lot of surprises. This was a lot of turnovers. This was a lot of unexpected events that happened. Unfortunately, we can't really cover everything in the space of time that we have, but, you know, there are a few things worth talking about. One of the first things I want to bring up was just an outstanding newcomer to the Marvel vs. Capcom 3 scene. And when I say newcomer, I do mean newcomer. Kid by the name of Noah, who, when I say kid, I mean kid. Kid was like 8 years old and cleaned house at Evo this year.
Oh, tell me about it. I watched all the matches. It was needless to say that the hype was there.
Oh, yeah, man. That kid brought the hype. I mean, so much so to the point that, like, he was such the underdog that everyone loved that, I mean, when people started beating on him, like, you know, like turning the tables on him, they got booed. And, you know, when he started winning, he, like, unanimous cheers and applause. Unfortunately, he didn't make it to finals, did he? He got beaten in semis, I think. And,
yeah. He made it to, like, top 48.
Using a very strong combination of, what was it? It was Hulk, Sentinel, and...
Wesker.
Hulk, Sentinel, Wesker. I mean, just a really strong team, lots of good linking combos, lots of good defensive play, especially. He may not have made it very far, but as far as I remember, at the end of the Street Fighter 4 tournament, it was announced that they had actually put up money to buy Noah a prize, an award, basically, at the Rising Stars Evo Award, which... You know, I guess is kind of a thing that's in his honor now. I mean, they really want to show their appreciation for this kid coming out and showing everyone how it's done, you know, how the next generation of fighting game fans is coming up.
The Noah Award, if you will.
And oh, yeah, I'd love for it to be called, you know, the Noah Award. That'd be amazing. And I want to see him come back next year and do even better. I mean, he could become, you know, the child prodigy of the fighting game world.
And much like Noah, it was my first Evo as well. This is the first one that I got to check out, and honestly, I can say I had a blast watching it. It's my new Super Bowl party, I think.
Oh, yeah. You see now why, you know, guys like me and Mo just get really into this stuff. I mean, We play the games, but it's like when you watch this tournament, that's the best of the best going at it right there, and that really inspires you to step up your own game.
Yep, which I myself have actually been doing the last couple of days.
And it was nice to see that, speaking of Marvel vs. Capcom 3, that even though I don't really know much about the tournament scene, there, you know, being your co-host, Toy, I have picked up on some things. And hearing that Justin Wong not taking Marvel vs. Capcom this year.
No, he's never really taken the game very seriously in the first place. He always kind of poo-pooed it, but he's always been sort of, you know, there in the game, in the scene of the game, and no, he did not take it this year. He's, you know, I really should look up a list of who won Evo 2K11 this year. Who did win the Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
It was Viscount.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Viscount. Viscount's always been a strong shower. He's always, you know, he's like regularly top 8 at least?
Yeah, regularly top 8, last I checked.
Yeah, just a player with a lot of good mix-up game. You can never really tell what he's going to do at any given second. He's got a lot of good options that he likes to exploit. Team structure is always very weird, sometimes random.
This year the his oddball choice was Hagar.
Yeah, although, you know, a high priority character to clear the screen with is always a good choice. I didn't agree with his use of Hagar like as a secondary assist character, but when it came down to it, he used it pretty well.
Yeah, he did.
And he had Viscant had a fantastic, amazingly great match with Puerto Rican Balrog in the finals.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. I still say that the level 3 Tron grab in pass were, Toya, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's crazy shit we saw there. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 for its first year at Evo made a great showing. I mean, there was all the hype of MVC 2 and then some. I mean, I don't think anyone was disappointed in this. You know, strangely enough, next year we may be seeing Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 at the tournament, and I think that's even going to bring the hype even more because we'll have more team setups. We'll have definitely a wider playing field to choose from, and it's just going to get more crazy and intense from this point out with MVC 3.
I'm finally going to be picking up an Xbox 360 of my own, and that is one of the first purchases I plan on making is Ultimate.
Oh, yeah, you are not going to regret that purchase, let me tell you. Aside from Marvel vs. Capcom 3, the other real huge surprise event of the tournament was during the Super Street Fighter 4 match. Now, a lot of people who listen to me on Facebook and Twitter and all these things know that I hold in very high regard a certain player by the name of Daigo Umehara as being one of the greatest Street Fighter players of all time. He's like, he's the Michael Jordan of the sport, you know?
Uh-huh.
And this year, he did not only just get beaten at Super Street Fighter 4, he got owned.
For free
and donuts, sir.
Yes, it was insane.
Not only did he get owned for free and donuts, he got owned but for free and donuts by a relatively unknown South Korean player.
Who used Seth of all characters.
Of all characters. A character you barely even see online, much less.
Yes.
That was some amazing gameplay. That was you'd basically watch God get beaten.
What was also interesting seeing was finally an American almost took the entire tournament.
Yeah, we're talking about Latif. Now, here's the funny thing.
Yeah.
Latif beat Daigo. Latif beat the man who beat Daigo.
He also beat Tokido.
Right. The problem
Latif
is...
eliminated Daigo.
Yeah, Latif eliminated Daigo. Latif beat the guy who beat Daigo. No, here's the problem, though. After all that, then he had to fight, who was it?
Fudo.
Fudo, right. Here's the problem with the tournament structure. They made Latif fight Daigo, then Punko, then Fudo in quick succession. Kid didn't even have a chance to go get a soda, okay? I'm sorry, but if I'm playing that tournament, I want 5 minutes to compose myself and get my stuff together, you know? Because... essentially, I think Latif could have taken it. Latif has the talent to have taken victory at that tournament, except that the draw he made and where he fell in the tournament was disadvantageous, because it put him in a situation where he basically had to run an endurance gauntlet of opponents. And I don't care who you are, if you play more than three very high-level matches of Street Fighter in a row, you're going to slip up, no matter how good you are. I think next year, when it comes to finals, give the players 10 minutes to compose themselves and relax. Fudo had three or four matches to sit out while he waited to play Latif. Latif had no time in between. I think this is a highly egregious oversight, and I think EVO tournament officials need to fix this so it doesn't happen again next year, because I think, and I'm going to go on record as saying this, Latif was cheated of a victory.
I'll agree with you on that. I think
Fudo's a strong player, but he's nothing special in the tournament scene.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah, Latif eliminated the best player in the world. He kicked out Derek Jeter, so to speak.
I said it on Twitter, and I'll say it again. Latif is over 9,000.
Uh-huh. And let me just say one little thing in regards to Daigo getting perfected by Punko, which, yes, that was a thing that happened.
Yeah.
Daigo. Perfect. Yeah. Daigo, that is why you never turn your back on Ryu. I'm just saying.
So, yeah, lots of fun going on at EVO this year. There's other tournaments to talk about, but I think those are the main points.
I think safe to say that even, you know, Ultimate Marvel 3, that'll probably be at EVO next year. You know what probably won't be? Mortal Kombat 9.
Oh, man, that was such a fiasco. The Mortal Kombat 9 tournament was, I mean, we all watched it. We all gave it a chance. I mean, it's not to say we just turned off when it came on. I started watching it. You guys fell in after me, but it was sort of boring. There were no outstanding players. I mean, you couldn't tell who was an outstanding player from who wasn't, because everyone was basically using the same combos over and over again.
Yeah, the only one that I was able to recognize was Chris G, and I only knew him because he was the guy who eliminated Noah in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Much to the displeasure of the crowd, I might add.
Yeah, much to my displeasure
as well. And I believe they did cheer when he got eliminated from the Marvel tournament.
He's not so much of a douchebag. They only cheered his elimination because, you know, he's kind of the bad guy against Noah. But I mean, the guy's just playing the tournament. Give him credit where credit's due.
He's a bad guy by default.
Exactly, and that's not you know, whatever. But yeah, Mortal Kombat 9. I don't know. It's just, it didn't seem to wow the crowd. The players who were there were all very much newbies to the EVO scene. So I don't know, it's just, it didn't strike me as, like, I remember, like, when they were starting, they started something, and the crowd started chanting Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat, and every time they chanted Mortal Kombat, another section of the crowd chanted Sucks.
Yeah.
So
it was like an ECW crowd back in the day.
Yeah, there's obviously a division in fans. There are fans that want Mortal Kombat to be recognized at the tournament level, and there are fans that think it has no place being there. I have to admit, I fall into the latter camp, but that's not that my opinion is, you know, more valid than someone else's. I wouldn't mind if they took it out, because honestly, I think that time could be better used for other things, particularly like my complaint about the Street Fighter 4 tournament, giving the players more time in between, because it really did seem very rushed this year with all the games they had to get out.
Yeah, they did most of the tournaments in a day, from what I understand.
Also, Blast Blue Continuum Shift 2, I don't think will be returning next year either, even though it's very fairly new. Nobody really seemed to be that taken into that game. However, remember, next year we're getting some big games coming out. We'll be getting Street Fighter Cross Tekken, possibly Tekken Cross Street Fighter at some point during the next year. I don't know if that's going to happen before EVO.
I think we're also getting Tekken Tag Tournament 2
Tag Tournament 2. So there's going to be a plethora of fighting games, and EVO staff are really going to have to pick and choose what they want at this tournament. But I do not think we are hurting for games, and that's going to be a first in about 5 years that we don't have to hurt for games for EVO.
We're also going to have a new Soul Calibur by that time as well.
Right, Soul Calibur 5, yeah. I don't know. Soul Calibur 4 was considered for EVO. I think they only played 1 year of that before they ruled it broken and didn't have it back. The fate shared by Smash Brothers Brawl as well. Or is it Melee? No, it was Melee.
Yeah, it was Melee.
Melee got like 1 year, and then people went, if all we're going to play is Final Destination, this game is kind of broken.
Yeah.
And
weren't they considered dropping it in the middle of the tournament?
Oh, yeah. It was like in the middle of playing that tournament, they went, yeah, this game is kind of ass. Their words, not mine, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But you want to know what is getting into King of Fighters 13, Toya?
I mean, well, King of Fighters 13, I'm hoping we'll get into Evo. That game needs some more recognition.
Yes, it does. And it had a side tournament this year at Evo.
That's great. That's fantastic. Also, last thing I want to get off my chest about Evo. I did highly enjoy the Third Strike Exhibitional.
Oh, so did I, man.
I love seeing that game in action again, and I'm totally buying that on the 23rd of this month when it comes out.
So am I.
Yeah, so Evo was, I think, a resounding success this year, and I think is only going to get more hype and better as time goes on.
Well, you know, I can definitely say that I'm going to be looking forward to watching it again next year, and who knows, maybe next year we'll do a live stream with live commentary on Evo.
That might be fun. That might be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We will invite all of our fans to watch that live stream.
Yeah, I'll have to get the old Vince McMahon impression.
By the way, I do want to say, I was actually approached by someone when I was at the mall today who was a fan of the live stream.
Really?
Yeah, it freaked me the hell out. It's actually somebody I knew from Facebook and from some gaming stuff a while ago, but he came up to me and was like, "Hey, Toya, I watched your live stream the other day. It was really fun." I'm like, you know, I had to apologize because I didn't actually realize he was in the live stream, because else I would have recognized the name. But yeah, we have people who like watch our stuff intently and are, you know, verbal and will say so in public. You know, it was kind of a surreal experience to be approached by a fan in public. It was really cool.
I think I speak for both of us when I say, "Holy fuck!"
Hopefully, you shilled your wonderful and talented, awesome podcasts.
What would those be?
Oh! Oh, I walked into that one.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
So yeah, live streaming Evo. Yeah, I've got everything I need to get off my chest on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just definitely, you know, two thumbs up for Evo. As a newcomer, I am highly looking forward to next year. Like I said, it's my Super Bowl. Screw the Super Bowl, give me Evo. I wrote that on Facebook, yeah, and I stand by that statement.
Awesome.
And I just want to say one last thing before I move on.
And what's that?
I still believe in Mike Ross. Next year, good sir. Next year.
Yeah, definitely. Mike Ross has the talent, has the ambition, has the drive to take it. It's just he drew some really tough competition this year, but I think if he studies the competition, gets in the lab with Gutex a little bit, we can expect at least a top eight, if not a final, from Mike Ross next year. My fingers are crossed, and I back the man heavily. He is.
So do I.
Now, yeah. You said something when we were watching the tournament that I guess it was another kind of a question I'm gonna pose to you now. Do you think that the days of one guy dominating the tournament year after year, thanks to the advent of online play, do you think that those days are done? That will, you know, every year it's going to be someone new winning, that we're not going to see
absolutely.
These dynasties?
I think absolutely. And the reason for that is, you know, as you said and as I said earlier, it's because the playing field has been significantly widened. Now, yes, we've had online play for many years. I mean, starting with the Xbox 360 and the PS3 eras, we've had the online play. But what's happened recently is that because of the amount of fighting games coming out, the amount of exposure and coverage they've been getting, I think in particular...
Sorry, folks, that we had a little bit of technical difficulties there, but we're back on track. Anyways, you were saying, Toya.
Yeah, I'm saying that in particular, the more exposure that these games get can only be a good thing, because it attracts more players who would not have otherwise picked up the game. That's always a good thing, because that widens the playing field, and that's what these games are about. They're about, you know, widening that playing field, bringing out the best in competition among all the players. The problem that I think we're going to see is with all these new games coming out, Tekken Tag Tournament 2, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, BlazBlue, who knows what else might come out, Tekken vs. Street Fighter Cross Tekken. I think we're going to be spoiled for choice when it comes to which games we get to see at tournament. And again, we only have a certain amount of time in the tournaments to get through all these games. I wonder, does that mean we'll get a tighter tournament? Does that mean we'll get a bigger tournament? What does that mean for the future of the sport? And I could see it going either way. I could see people getting upset that their favorite game isn't included in Evo. I can see, you know, the tournament getting bigger and spanning maybe two weekends instead of just one, you know, just maybe one weekend for prelims alone. But, yeah, I think the future of the sport is changing, and for the most part, for the better.
Or possibly hold prelims online.
I don't think that'd be such a bad idea.
And then just have the tournaments proper actually at the event.
It's an idea. I don't know how many people would take the online play, because there's people who will swear up and down that online matches are different from in-person matches just because of like the lag and how certain things run. I'm not quite so picky, but I could see where people would be. So I don't know. Completely up in the air, I think.
Yeah, time will tell. But our other big event this week, of course, was a little tiny, small, insignificant event known as San Diego Comic-Con 2011.
Mm-hmm. Now, guys are going to have to walk me through some of these news stories, because there was almost an overwhelming number of things that we could talk about right now regarding that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me bring up the first one here. In Marvel television, the Hulk will be getting a new animated series, Hulk and the Agents of Smash!
Wow, do not like that name.
Neither do I.
Although it's got an interesting roster, of course, Hulk, Red Hulk. Red Hulk, She-Hulk, and A-Bomb.
She-Hulk, do you want .jpg?
Same here.
I'm telling you, it may have, you know, kind of a dumb name, but it's going
to
be...
I'm always kind of wary when they try to put the Hulk in a team context, I mean, outside of the Avengers. I remember there were times in the Hulk comics when you could actually pick up a Hulk comic and the Hulk wouldn't be in it because they were so focused on the rest of his quote-unquote team or whatever the dynamic was. Just a little worried that it might detract from what should be just literally the big star of the show, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, you gotta wonder if this is mean we're gonna be seeing a show with Smart Hulk.
Good question. I don't think it does, though, because honestly, if Red Hulk is in there, he's gonna fulfill the dynamic in the team of Smart Hulk, and therefore actually leave room for Hulk to be as savage as he wanna be.
As in, like, we'll get the typical Hulk Smash Hulk we all know and love.
Yeah, I think that's not such a bad thing, and I think, honestly, if the Red Hulk is there, that fulfills the other side of the coin, so I don't see why not.
Another very promising aspect of the show is that it's being penned by, the lead writer is Paul Dini.
You have my interest.
Yeah, a very competent name in the world of TV animation, one of the best writers behind the old Batman animated series. Honestly, I'd be a lot more comfortable with, like, maybe Jeff Loeb. Behind the pen on this one, but
Loeb is part of it.
Oh, is he? Yeah, he's one of my favorite Hulk writers ever. I'm glad to see him on that. Then he may just be on as a creative consultant. I don't think he's got the time to write full episodes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nah.
But let's see. Article number two, another big event. More Marvel, actually. Marvel is going to be jumping into the water of live-action television.
Mostly do not want .jpg. Although, you know, the last time I remember Marvel doing a good live-action TV series was actually the old Incredible Hulk TV series with Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, so far we're going to be getting a show called AKA Jessica Jones, based on the comic Alias, who will also be featuring Power Man, AKA Luke Cage.
Yeah, they're married in the comics now, if I'm not mistaken.
And Carol Danvers, Ms. Marvel, will be showing up as well.
Yeah, probably not in costume, though. You know how these shows are. Not. It's basically going to be the Smallville of Marvel.
That's most likely going to be the other show they announced, which is Mockingbird.
Oh, God.
Of course, as we
all characters who did not deserve their own show, Mockingbird was one of them.
Yeah, of course, as we all know, she's an ex-SHIELD agent, and, you know, she's got kind of a thing with Hawkeye.
By the way, has anybody ever noticed? Hawkeye, Mockingbird, Green Arrow, Black Canary.
I
was just about to mention that, too.
Just a little suspect is all I'm saying.
However, in the show, she will be a science major living in Silicon Valley who is recruited by a secret organization to be a spy. SHIELD, perhaps? And basically, Jeff Loeb has referred to the show as Alias meets Felicity. Do not want .jpg.
So nothing like the original character is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Basically, yes.
So why bother calling it Mockingbird in the first place? Oh my god, my head hurts.
There are also rumblings of a new Hulk live-action show.
Hmm?
Fuck you, I'm out. No, no, just no, 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 you do not do a Hulk live action. No, 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 not in this day and age, no. The time for that is past. Bill Bixby is dead. Leave him, rest in peace. Do not take that baby from him. That was one of the greatest TV shows Marvel ever put on. It would not, I mean, at least not in that formula, work in the same context today. It's simply a different time, a different age. The CGI required for a Hulk TV show would be far more than the average TV show budget can produce. For once, I'm going to be cynical about something, and I'm going to be extremely cynical about this. I'm going to actually like to see this fail. I'm sorry.
Also, supposedly, we will be getting a... This is only a rumor. Cloak and Dagger.
Again, two characters that are sadly underused in the comics even today.
You are going to be... You're not going to like this either.
Uh-oh, what now?
Maybe you will, maybe you will, I don't know. But it's going to be about two teenagers who find each other and realize their powers complement and complicate their lives.
No, that's pretty much how the original Cloak and Dagger worked, yeah.
Okay, and it's interesting. Was the it? Show will be set in post-Katrina New Orleans.
Sort of makes sense given the original Cloak and Dagger's origins. They were actually street kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's actually pretty in character. That's a lot more in character than the damn Mockingbird show sounded.
And more appropriate than the Hulk show?
Oh, far more appropriate.
In regards to the Hulk show, is it wrong to say that with the announcement of this, Bill Bixby is rolling in his grave?
I wouldn't say rolling in his grave, but it certainly is something that I think is purely nostalgia-based. I don't see this working from a purely TV level. I don't think TV audiences are that much more interested in the Hulk anymore, especially not from a weekly adventure series standpoint. What they could do is make it like kind of a manhunt thing, like play up that aspect of it. Like, you know, have SWAT teams go after the Hulk every now and then. That might be a little more compelling. Turn it into 24, right? But instead of counter-terrorists, you know, you've got your secret agent hunting down
your Hulkbusters.
That would actually be kind of...
You got the Hulkbusters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. The Hulkbusters. There's a great name for the team. Yeah, no, just do that. Just do the Hulkbusters. That'd be cool, you know.
Speaking also of new shows, we got another new one coming from DC, though. Green Lantern's finally getting his new animated series.
That's nice. But
give me Red Lanterns as the villain and I am good.
Actually, you may be surprised, they will be including the Red Lanterns.
All right, I want a Cross action figure. I want it for Christmas. I'm good. Thank you, DC. See you later.
Apparently, they have created a new member of the Red Lantern Corps called Razor.
What?
And Hal Jordan will be our Green Lantern for this.
Okay, that's to be expected.
However, the one thing I cannot say that I like about it is the chosen animation style, which is... CGI looks very similar to, like, The Incredibles from Disney. It's very Pixar.
That's not so bad, though.
Yeah, that's not so bad. Like,
I saw it, I don't know. I didn't
it's
like
probably
it.
Probably gonna go for a similar feel to Batman Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, I don't know. I was...
Which would be weird to actually have the Red Lanterns in that kind of a kiddified version, though.
Yeah, you know, it's like, especially after seeing the recent DC animated films that they did with Green Lantern, to me, it honestly feels like a step back.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, with that art style, suddenly the Red Lanterns are not looking like such a good choice for villains anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the man in charge of it is Giancarlo Vellopi. I cannot really pronounce that name.
Sounds familiar, though.
He's basically the guy who worked on Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Again, do not want. Do not want .jpg. Very much. Capital.
This has earmarks of not being very great, but let's give it a chance. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. And apparently Sinestro looks like will not be making a appearance.
Huh. Weird. Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
And they said Hal Jordan will not become Parallax at any point in the series. We do know this.
So not related to the movie, then. Or I should say the old comic storyline. But anyway, let's not even get into that. That's a whole different kettle of fish.
Continuity alarm.
Jesus, no.
This isn't atop the fourth wall, but I appreciate the use of the continuity alarm.
Yes. And of course, let's see. I'll just move on from this, because we could just go. There was rumblings of the Mass Effect movie.
Let me just take some time out of my sitting here right now to say this.
I'm going to step back and let Mo have this one.
Well,
okay.
Mo, before you continue to groan, I am willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
They have acknowledged that, yes, video game movies in the past have been absolute crap.
Of course.
Oh yeah, but we're gonna stay respectful to the source material. Am I close to the speech here? And we acknowledge that it has a deep backstory and a rich history, and we intend to stay true to that bullshit alarm.
Bullshit alarm is going off times 10. And the main reason as to why a Mass Effect movie would not work at all is because the main conceit of Mass Effect is that you choose the outcomes. Your shepherd is you. You choose Shepard's morals, the way Shepard acts, who Shepard aligns with, all that other stuff. You know, you also choose how the endgame plays out sometimes.
I think actually my main concern with this is basically that Mass Effect already has a very established world and a very established lore. What I see going on here is that if you want to do a movie proper on this, what's going to have to happen is that you're going to have to bring in people from EA. You're going to have to bring in story consultants. You're going to have to bring in lore consultants. You know, essentially,
which,
like,
apparently they are, according...
Right, but what I'm saying is we're dealing with the amount of data that you... Not quite the amount you'd find in Star Wars, but, you know, a similar level of dedication to it. My question is, are they able to keep all this stuff straight and yet deal with maybe a rogue director who doesn't quite see it that way? You know what I mean? That's always been the problem, especially with something that has built its own story and its own lore and its own mythos the way Mass Effect has. And honestly, Mass Effect's handled it brilliantly and done what few movies have barely been able to do, which is to make a compelling and a continuing piece of fiction.
Not to mention it established an entire world in fiction. In one game,
yeah, that's what I'm
most
saying.
Series
yeah.
is... Yeah, like, it did that in one... In
oh,
one
yeah,
game,
what most series could... Yeah, what most series couldn't do in three movies, yeah, Mass Effect did in one. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, yeah. All I'm saying is until I see a director and cast attached to the film, I am going to give it the benefit of the doubt.
I'm going to pretend it doesn't exist until then.
I'm going to watch it with interest. Sorry. It is late at night. I must warn everyone listening to the podcast. I'm sorry for my yawning.
Yeah.
And I had a long day. Let's not even get into that. It was fun, though. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, but... Yeah. God, I mean, what else did you have? Well, I mean, it's Comic-Con, so, I mean, we might as well talk about, I don't know, comics.
No. Nice, that would be sacrilege.
Yeah.
Who actually goes to Comic-Con to talk about comics? Jesus, Joe, get with the times.
Actually, the sad thing is
you're
talking
about either
far
off video games. Everyone knows when you go to Comic-Con, you talk about either games or movies, not comics. What is this?
Yeah, what are these comics things you speak of?
Well, the thing is the way things are going, that's kind of the direction Comic-Con is going in.
This is what I'm saying. I'm not sure I like that direction, but I mean... Look, I'll take whatever exposure comics can get these days. I mean, let's be honest. Comics are more mainstream now than they were, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago. I mean, we were still part of, like, a fringe movement back then. I mean, we, you know, sure, everyone knew Batman and Superman in the movies and whatnot, but, I mean, there weren't really, you know, dedicated comics. But even saying that, I think the heyday of comics is sort of behind us. I think, like, the 90s was, like, the big comics decade, and now... It is sort of the movies and video games, but, I mean, the fact that we're still getting those based off of comics is still a testament to how strong the stories are and how great those ideas still are.
Yes, they are.
Or, I'm sorry, not ideas, franchises. I'm sorry, I used the wrong terminology.
Yeah.
But, Anyways, as topics go, Marvel might possibly
sort of
kill off Cyclops.
Thank God! Sorry. I mean, what a shame.
I've never liked Cyclops. Is that a crime?
Not really. I thought he was
He's gone from being a Boy Scout to being a complete dick ever since he got, you know, a little bit of Apocalypse in him.
Really? That's what happened?
Oh, yeah. Ever since the year 2000. For the last 10 years, I think, he's been kind of a dick.
Yeah, he has. He's just... That's kind of just Apocalypse, you know, just...
I still remember. I've seen this picture on fbicomicrelationships.tumblr.com, one of my favorite comic blogs, by the way, where they just post pictures of, you know, comic relationships. And there's this famous picture of, like, Emma Frost kissing Scott on the cheek, and she's like, "I'll see you later, darling." And his response is, "Good night, wife." I'm like, when did Scott Summers become Amish? Who calls their wife? What the hell?
When did he become Dr. Robinson from that crappy Lost in Space movie? I love you, wife.
Jesus. I love your wife.
Like, I love you, wife. What the hell?
I love you, Raul. Sorry, inside joke for people. Long story. Let's not even get into that. Sorry. It was funny to us. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
I'd be kind of... Now, they haven't said that they are 100% killing off Cyclops. Basically, a fan asked, "Are you gonna kill off Cyclops?" They blatantly asked it.
After this fan noticed that there was no Cyclops in the images, which I don't know, that doesn't really mean much. That just means he could be injured. I don't think that's much.
Well, it says we don't know if that Cyclops is gonna be around either. It could be someone else carrying on his ideals. So
right.
The fan
basically, when the fan asked, "Are you killing Cyclops?" the response was, "Reach Schism," which is the new storyline coming. That means nothing. That's like, you know, that's just the creators being like, "Well, don't let us give all the plot away. You know, go read the damn book."
So what you're saying is that the answer was kind of a cop out.
Yeah, I'm saying it was a total cop-out because, you know, they want people to read the book and not... I mean, it's akin to a movie director giving spoilers away for his movie. It's about the same damn thing. I wouldn't tell people what it was, shit.
And
by the way, next week on the podcast, here's who dies.
Next week. Next week on the podcast, we kill off Aaron of the Lost World.
Dun, dun, dun!
Don't worry. He'll be back a month later in a new powered-up form. That's how these things work. Haven't you paid attention?
That is true, yes. That is true. And when you said someone would be carrying on Cyclops' ideals, does this mean that someone's going to be a dick in his steed or something?
Well, I guess, yeah, whoever agrees. The most likely, if it's going to be anyone, it'll probably be Emma Frost.
Yeah, most likely.
But, I think in the immortal words of Forrest Gump, that's all I got to say about that.
The immortal words of Ozzy Osbourne, who gives a shit? I'm sorry, death in comics not only means less than nothing now, it's actually sort of an annoyance now. It's like they're holding our favorite characters hostage. It's like, you better read this book or we're going to kill Cyclops. You know, it's just, why is that still a draw? It worked when you killed Superman. Even though we knew he was coming back, it was still sort of this symbolic death that meant something. It meant that there was an end of instance in the comics era. It meant that the old ideals were dead. It meant that the face of comics had to change. Now it just means we're not selling enough books. I'm sorry, It really does bug me that that's the most creative thing they can come up with to sell a character, is to kill them and then bring them back in some powered up form. That is creatively bankrupt. Comics do more. I mean, I think DC has a right path with, you know, upping the you know, changing the costumes and maybe doing a continuity reboot. That's fine. You'll piss off the older fans, sure, but think of all the new fans you'll gain and who can jump on at that point. Right now, I'm not even following X-Men because the continuity has just become way too convoluted. I want to follow X-Men. Following X-Men again would be a dream for me, but until they get to a good jumping on point, I can't care. I just don't care. And the apathy is really sort of killing me, which I guess makes it not apathy and actually kind of rage. But now I'm just rambling. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You've had a long day.
Speaking of rage, you know what's got some rage? Zombies. And those zombies are in The Walking Dead Season 2. The trailer for Season 2 of The Walking Dead was shown at Comic-Con. And maybe, just maybe, the fact that the show's budget has been slashed and Frank Darabont has left, maybe that's not going to be a death knell for the show. From the trailer, it looks very, very good. And okay. I'm really, really hoping that it's going to be just as good as the first. And maybe it'll do amazing with its reduced budget, and it'll make AMC realize that they need to give the show a fucking budget again.
Yes. And I never really finished the first season. From what I understand from people that I've seen watch it, it got somewhat progressively worse as time went on or something.
People didn't like it because it veered off the course of the comics completely.
Yeah, but this gives
it,
like,
it's not like
it
had to follow the comics. It's like, didn't have to follow the comics exactly. It could have just used that as a jumping off point, and I think that's what they intended to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a great show. I actually haven't read the comics, and I think the show is great because it's just a well written show. It's,
by the way, and I would also like to point fans of us who like our style of show, if you are in fact Walking Dead fans, I also encourage you to watch and listen to the NSFW show, because they actually have Michael Rooker from The Walking Dead on as a guest host sometimes, and those episodes are normally pretty good because the hosts of those shows are big Walking Dead fans and they love having them on. So if you're a Walking Dead fan, you like Michael Rooker and you like our style of show, go check out the NSFW podcast as well.
It doesn't help that NSFW is funny as shit.
It does, yeah. Sorry, I'm sorry for plugging podcasts that we're not actually related to. I just felt that was a needful thing to do.
Yeah.
And supposedly, this makes me happy, in Season 2, Thomas Jane, who was originally supposed to play Andrew Lincoln's part, will be guesting, so that's going to be awesome.
Good. I want to hear him say something like, "I'm not just going to be some kind of Punisher." I will ball my head off.
Best Punisher ever.
Agreed. Totally agreed. Much better than that Jagoff who was in the last movie.
The supposed sequel to it.
Oh Jesus, what the hell was up with that movie? That was just like that was like Marvel Max come to life, not in a good way.
That was Punisher War Journal or something like that.
Punisher War Zone, yeah.
Like, I never saw that movie, so.
More like Punisher War Zone. I didn't actually have a joke written for that, sorry.
It's like, they pretty much took away everything unique about the first Punisher movie.
Well, they turned it into Garth Ennis's Punisher, which, I don't know, it's a Garth Ennis thing. It's, you know, it's just overly hardcore and not very enjoyable.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry if I like my comics to have a little color and substance to them. Didn't know that was such a crime these days.
Same thing with video games, if you take the time to think about it.
Oh, yeah. We're all so caught up in validating our own interests that we forgot to have fun with them, you know? It's the same thing when we've got, like, toy collectors who complain about quality control issues till the cows come home. Yeah, you can complain about your paint chipping off a little bit, but do you think little kids who are buying these toys complain about that? What happened to little kids reading comics, you know? We all got so wrapped up in, like, oh, well, we're adults and comics are a viable artistic format, that we forgot to have fun. When did that happen? I mean, that's the real crime here, guys, don't you think? I think that's what's killing Comic-Con. Not the, you know, movies that want to exploit our love of the culture. I think we tried to take it too seriously, and we need to take a step back and just enjoy the fact that a man can fly again, you know?
Yeah.
Very well said, Noah. Very well said.
This is a very strong case of, as what TV Tropes calls it, stop having fun, guys.
Guys, comics are serious business.
You know what else is serious business?
I'm upset about all the things we're into. Comics, video games, cartoons,
What do you got? Live action role playing? Stop taking this shit so seriously. You're sucking all the fun out of the room.
Please stop. Like,
this is a call to nerds everywhere. Stop being so serious. I say that because it's spelled SRS.
Uh-huh.
It's so sad that you had to actually explain that.
I know.
You know what else is sad? Jurassic Park 4 has been confirmed.
They should have just left it after the first one.
Guys, can we raise our hands? All of those of us who asked for this, raise your hands. Anyone? Hands? Anyone?
I don't see anything, but and that's not just because
I think somebody raised a foot in protest.
I'm raising both my feet in protest.
Oh, there you go. So nobody asked for this. Why are you giving it to us? I mean, yeah, I don't mind. I think this is again testament to how creatively bankrupt Hollywood's become. I hate to keep harping on the same thing, but it's true.
It's true.
Nothing is known about it.
You just imagine Spielberg sitting in his office like, well, Transformers is done. How the hell do I print more money without actually putting out more effort? Well, those Jurassic Park movies with the dinosaurs are pretty good. All right, make a new one.
Seriously.
I don't know who actually said that in his office. There was probably some guy with a really high-pitched voice sitting behind his chair.
Maybe he just had a head of helium.
Yeah, I don't know where the story is going. I don't care.
I don't know either.
Energon Iron. Yeah, well, Energon Ironhide has been responsible for some pretty bad ideas in his time, but I don't know if he was actually responsible for Jurassic Park 4.
Despite the level of derp he put out?
I don't know. How much does Kicker like dinosaurs? There's your real question.
Well, there were Dinobot toys.
If I made a movie that had dinosaurs in it, would you be my best friend, Kicker? Whiniest robot ever.
And derpiest robot ever.
That is not how Ironhide is supposed to be.
I think we
I should say a new friend of mine today, somebody I just met today, we were talking and he's like, I was once in a knockoff toy store and I saw a package that had a dinosaur in it and for some reason there was Superman on the back of a dinosaur. And I had to ask myself, why is Superman riding a dinosaur? And I said to him, well, this just shows how different we are, because I would have looked at that and went, what's that dinosaur doing with Superman on his back? Just saying, some people have different priorities is all.
Exactly. Well, personally, my priorities would be Superman riding a dinosaur. That's fucking awesome.
Another thing that's awesome is the return of Beavis and Butthead.
You seem a lot more excited for this than I am. I mean, I'm not excited. I'm just sort of, again, a lot of more creative bankruptcy going on, having to go back to an idea go back to an idea that the creator himself said was played out, what, 10 years ago?
Well, he also said this, that I feel like TV was getting too smart.
What?
Mike Judge actually said this. The obvious sarcasm there.
Yeah.
But,
I wanted to smack him considering that this is the man that gave us both Office Space and Idiocracy. And I mean that in a good way, too.
Oh, he's a fantastic writer, don't get me wrong. It's just that I question dipping back to the well after calling the water poisoned, if you get my drift.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
TV has become really stupid. And honestly, maybe it really needs two teenage idiots to sit on a couch and smack it back.
To be honest, after seeing the fun that they poked at Jersey Shore, I say this show is nothing but welcome in my eyes. I mean, as much as I'm harping on it, yeah, I'd love to see somebody take down the reality TV shows of Peg or 3.
You know, like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it is rehashing an old idea, but if it's done well enough, is that really a bad thing?
Not really, no.
No, it isn't to some degree, but at the same time, it shouldn't be every single one. That's all I'm saying. I think Beavis and Butthead is a good idea to rehash. I think that time is ripe for that. I'm just saying that I've been burned on so many other remakes, reboots, relaunches, continue. I mean, for God's sakes, this year they're going to continue the Transformers ongoing series from number 81. I mean, really? Really? Really?
They just want them to stop?
I blame the fans for that.
I want fresh ideas. I didn't see a single original thing at Comic-Con this year. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah,
where are all the new ideas?
You know, we have been getting, at least with Transformers, we have been getting it, old ideas, but we'll probably get some new spins on them, is that, on the Transformers Prime panel, they announced that, they will be putting their own spin on Combiners.
And the Dinobots,
again, it's old ideas being rehashed. Not that I'm not saying no. I mean, I love Transformers. You know what? Let's just call this episode Toya is old and crotchety. You know, because that's what we're getting out of this episode.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what we're getting.
I'm just angry at everything right now.
And here I thought I was going to be the one who is going to be just like raging and about some of this Comic-Con stuff.
I'm normally the most sunny person around when it comes to new ideas, but that's just it. They have to be new ideas. This is all old stuff, and I'm honestly getting a little sick of it.
Well, they have said that, you know, Transformers Prime is going to go into a more story arcing direction as opposed to self-contained episodes.
Yeah.
Well, it has been arcing for a while. It's just not been so strong. They've had some pretty good standalone episodes. That's always been nice. I'd sort of not like to see that go away, but at the same time, if they're going to do story arcs, I think that speaks to the quality of story they're trying to tell, and the cohesion with which they're trying to tell it, and that can be nothing but a good thing for a franchise like that, I think.
You know,
yeah.
Transformers Prime, the whole thing has also been just, instead of just rehashing one idea, they've been doing they've been taking little ideas here and there from previous series, you know, what worked, taking what worked from certain series and fiddling out, you know, what didn't work, and also filtering out maybe what doesn't work together.
I'm sorry, for all the detractors that series has had, you know what? I still say that it has more character development in its first season alone than most TV shows aimed at kids have ever had, including some Transformers.
Yeah.
There's more character development in the first 5 episodes of that show than are in all of Energon.
And
what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Send hate mail to electricinfoshow@gmail.com? I'd like to see that.
I don't think anyone would be sending you hate mail. I think they'll be saying truth or something like that.
And that's truth. But, Transformers Prime is a fantastic series. And honestly, it's only getting better. And it's going to get better in Season 2. And possibly, just possibly, they hinted we may be seeing, maybe not characters, but we may be seeing some voice actors from Beast Wars returning. Could it possibly mean the return of one Scott McNeil?
Very nice.
Well,
that means they'll have voices for at least half their cast now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Scott will be having his scenes all over the place.
You know what'd be awesome? Scott McNeil voicing Transformers Prime Drift. I'm calling it.
Shut up. That fanboy character. Oh my god. I hope that never sees the light of day.
I hope
he is such a Mary Sue fanwank piece. Yeah, oh god, I am old.
This episode is officially titled Toya is Old.
Or at least, you know, get off my lawn, you darn kids.
You darn kids, stop skateboarding on my lawn.
Playing the hippity hop music and the
And wearing your pants down your ankles and shit.
Pull your pants up, God, son.
And back in my day, we didn't have all these fancy schmancy things and what crossovers like we saw at Comic-Con this year. Star Trek and the Legion of Superheroes. How's that for a segue?
Really? I mean, Star Trek and the X-Men wasn't bad enough. Now this...
Star Trek and the X-Men was a special kind of awesome.
Not the Next Generation novel.
Oh, no, no. Where, I'm talking about
where,
the comics.
Where, by the way, Captain Picard looks at Professor Xavier and says, there is a kind of resemblance here. I bought that book out of curiosity.
I did, too.
Consider curiosity killed.
The comics they did, because they did a Next Generation comic and a... original series comic, and the Next Generation comic actually led into the horrible novel.
I will say, though, that the Legion of Superheroes does make a slightly better fit. I mean, they're already, you know, packed full of aliens, and time travel mm-hmm. is a normal thing for them. So, yeah, this is... I mean, they're perfect for crossovers of any kind, really, but much more so for Star Trek. So I have no problem with this. I think it might be a fun little read, but I'm not expecting high art out of it.
I mean, it's interesting. It's the yeah. second. It's another crossover between IDW and one of the, and, you know, and the big two. The other one being Transformers: New Avengers. And if that's anything to judge this one by,
is it New Avengers or just Avengers?
It's New Avengers.
Is that upcoming? I hadn't heard of this.
No, that was released already. It was a four-part miniseries. It was not very good. It turned into the Avengers versus Megatron.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang.
Oh, yeah, this actually is the one I'm thinking of then. Yeah, I did read this.
Yeah, and didn't one of the older Marvel comics from, like, around the time Secret Wars was going on had Spidey in a black suit fighting Megatron?
Yes.
Yes. Ironically, whenever they reprint those issues, they always remove... When the covers show up in, like, anthologies and collections, they always sort of black out Spider-Man because, like, they just can't, you know, associate him with the Transformers brand anymore because, I mean, he's obviously still a Marvel property and Transformers is not. So
even though we have Transformers Marvel crossover toys.
Yeah, which is, you know, weird. It's like you have to imagine Marvel's, like, forking over money and going, like... Damn it, if we had still kept this, we would have the license to it, we could do this ourselves.
Oh my god, I just thought of something incredibly epic.
What?
Transformers crossover, Marvel versus Capcom. Dowant.jpg.
Okay, hang on, let's think about this logically. So what about the Capcom characters? What do they turn into?
Strider transforms into a Megapuma.
Ryu turns into a punching bag. But it could happen.
Ken transforms into a sports car.
Akuma turns into Oni.
But that's just going to confuse the people who think that Oni and Akuma are the same character.
Well, let's not even get into that.
Completely different can of mutant worms right there.
Sentinel transforms into another sentry turret from Portal.
Sentinel transforms into another Sentinel.
Inception! or Incentil-shun or something.
That was... No. Whatever. I wish I had the Inception button.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at my niece trying to run away from a Brute Chieftain in Halo Reach, backs herself into a corner, Brute Chieftain walks up, taps his foot twice, and then kills her. he's like standing there going, really? You're gonna hide there, really?
Really?
Well, sorry, just hang on. Yeah, what were we talking about again? I forget. I'm so high on lack of sleep right now, it's not even funny.
A combination of Sentinel and Inception.
And Sentinel Shun.
Yes.
And Sentinel ships and...
And of course, whenever someone brings up Inception, I gotta do this. I'm sorry if that's overused. Yeah, we're all tired as shit right now.
Oh, yeah.
But the sacrifice... Yes, the sacrifices we make for you listeners. All 50 of you.
I don't sacrifice shit for our listeners. They have to sacrifice for me, damn it.
Maybe that's why we only have 50 fans on Facebook, huh? You ever think of that one?
Yeah, numbers got to go up. Look, listen, you, yes, you, listener. You know I'm talking to you. You know I'm goddamn psychic. Stop it. No. Don't reach for the pause button. Very good.
No.
Okay, now, what you do, here's what you do. walk over to your computer, or if you're listening to this on your phone, just whip out your phone. All right, there you go. Yeah, okay, open that Facebook thing. Yeah, okay, right. Go to the Electric Information page and share to all of your friends. You will do this. Toya's voice is like nectar. You cannot live without it.
Also, don't eat that. That's disgusting.
Oh, yes. What the hell,
Steve?
No, I'm not pointing fingers, Steve.
Yes.
Oh, God, one other thing from one other piece of news from Comic-Con. I was wrong. I will admit I was wrong. South Park has been renewed for 2 more seasons.
See, guy, I told you it weren't over nothing.
Okay, you know, for the first time, honestly, this is probably the most glad I've ever been to be wrong.
You're just being ignorant. Stop being so ignorant. Don't be ignorant.
This is the worst Michael Jackson ever.
No, right?
No, this is the worst Michael Jackson ever.
Yep, well, it's, hang on, I gotta give a round of applause to that one. That was truly terrible. Inspiredly so.
Yep, I told you.
It's nice to see your slow clap processor still works.
Oh, God, can we do it?
You do realize that it's your reaction that I love so very much.
So do I.
It's going to even be worse when I start doing it without noticing.
But I think we've officially gone insane.
Yeah, that's always a good place to wrap an episode.
Yeah, so, whoa. Yes, in the words of Neo, whoa.
Whoa.
I'm Joe Conboy. That's Toya. And Falcon Reaver.
Yeah.
Gotta get the hell out of here. I don't have a sign-off line.
What's that matching on my ear? Perhaps the end is drawing near. You never hear the shot that takes you down.